It's 8:30 here on Giant 90.9. And that can only mean one thing. Your host, Owen Pulley, is alongside Maxwell Gilly and Lucas McKee in HD1 Studios. And it's time for the Sports Spotlight! Welcome to another episode of the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's Giant 90.9. If you are normally tuning in now for On the Fly with Sam Pearman and Max Gilly. Actually, I'm just going to hand it over to Max about that information.
Had to get it moved today because of conversations with Carlisle. And being that Sam was not here, got it switched around, but it's fine. We're still here today, and it's Sports Spotlight time.
And if you were here originally for the Sports Spotlight, you get to hear some music from the amazing music taste of Ryan Smith.
DJ Ryan in the house.
DJ Ryan. We will never have as amazing radio voice as Ryan Smith does.
That's true.
But anyway, we're here for the Sports Spotlight, talking about your sports news here. Better late than never, you could say. Still on a Thursday, so that's always good to have on at least the exact day. Lucas McKee is here.
Sound a good time.
Got to turn the fan off. Give me 1 second, guys. Technical difficulties.
But yeah, it's the NFL playoff weekend, super wild card weekend to be specific. Should be an exciting one this week.
Yeah, I'm excited for the NFL wild cards. I think that the AFC is honestly going to be more fun than the NFC.
I feel like it's always been like that in the last.
It's all
few
young.
Years.
Patrick Mahomes is the oldest quarterback in the AFC playoff right now, like in the playoffs for the AFC right now. So it's gonna be a fun playoff for sure. I want Chargers to take it, though. I believe I said that on Tuesday, but if not Chargers, then I got Chiefs.
I mean, it's still difficult for me to decide looking ahead to the Super Bowl. It's just that competitive this year. We obviously have some favorites, but it's not like some years where you're like, oh, it's 100% going to be like in the past when there's 100% going to be the Patriots making it.
Yeah.
It was pretty obvious. We don't have something like that this year, which is fun.
Now it's just going to be the Buccaneers with Tom Brady.
They're so probably going to beat Dallas, but not. I don't expect them to make it that far after.
Yeah, and by the way things are going here, they're probably going to have to play Philly.
Imagine Brock Purdy winning a Super Bowl, though. That'd be crazy.
Mr. Yeah. Irrelevant and
even
a rookie.
I wouldn't even care. I mean, I don't have anything against 49ers. Brock Purdy's look amazing. That'd be awesome if he won a Super Bowl.
That would be so fun. And that is the Hollywood movie script if I've ever seen one. We've seen a couple of those before.
Or Geno Smith as well.
I still can't believe
he's finally
going to
write back.
That's that. I imagine he wins the Super Bowl, and that's like his post interview. Like, I wrote back. It's like the Super Bowl, and it's going to be like everywhere.
I know he's finally going to write back against the 49ers, so they're going to get killed.
Yeah.
That's my pick.
So.
But we're going to break it down game by game for you, starting off in the AFC side of things. The matchup of the AFC East, the Bills, and the Dolphins. I think this is going to be a big game. I think when you have a high-powered offense like the Buffalo Bills, and you have a team with no Tua for the playoffs.
That's going to be a huge thing, I think, for Miami. I think they really struggle with him. They have a lot of great offensive weapons, but, I mean, I don't expect their backup to be nearly as talented.
Teddy Two Gloves? Or was he out there?
No, Skyler, or whatever their third string is.
They had talks about, I remember like a week or two ago with the, I believe he was out for the concussion, was Teddy Bridgewater. And then they were talking about signing Mike Glennon, but that never went through. The Giants quarterback, the legend, or not Giants quarterback right now, but was before, but the legendary Mike Glennon.
The GOAT right there.
The GOAT. No, that's Trace McSorley and Ben DiNucci.
Oh, that was an interesting time in the internet. I'm glad it's done.
But I had the Trace McSorley song.
Trace McSorley.
Throw it on a dime.
You're welcome,
that
America.
That was bad.
So you could be listening to, like, Kevin and Query right now. but I don't think they're singing the Trace McSorley song.
Yeah,
exactly. Kevin, that's what's so much better about this.
I don't understand how you do radio for 3 hours straight.
You talk about guests. That's the biggest thing.
Pat McAfee
and
show.
And phone calls.
Pat McAfee show, he's like from 12 to like 3, but he always goes over like 3.5-4 hours long. It's
Omaha. Or it's time for the morning check down.
Yeah.
We might get copyrighted for that. I don't know. But yeah, I think the Bills are going to win that game over the Dolphins.
Yep, easily.
The NFC matchup here, the Bengals and the Ravens.
Lamar's out of that one, too.
Yeah, Lamar's out. They were talking about him playing, but they finally ruled him out.
Yep.
So Bengals, I think, is the obvious choice for that game. And then I think that Jacksonville is – I don't know. That's a toss-up between Jacksonville and Los Angeles.
That one's going to be on NBC at 8:15.
That's going to be a good game, really, though.
Anytime it's a 4-5 seed, you never know.
Yeah, with how Jacksonville's offense has been explosive and Chargers got a pretty banged up defense, but Justin Herbert, I mean, he got snubbed of the playoffs because of Derek Carr last season, so he's looking for revenge this season. I think he's gonna come out with guns slinging, and I think he's gonna torch the Jags defense. But I do think it's going to be a good game.
I'm thinking I'm going to probably take the Jaguars in this one. I just think that overall that they should win it. But it's going to be a close one. It's going to be a really fun one. I think looking ahead, that's probably going to be truly the most exciting one. Because I think Cowboys and Buccaneers is not going to be an exciting one.
That's probably going to be the most boring.
I mean, Giants, Vikings, maybe. But, yeah, I definitely think Jaguars and Chargers should be the most exciting one.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking Jacksonville over Los Angeles, the Jaguars over the Chargers. I think that'll be a fun game. But other than that, I think that it's going to go pretty chalk without two of the starting quarterbacks playing in the first round of the wild card on the AFC side. But I think in the NFC, starting off with the NFC West matchup, the only interdivision matchup in the NFC. They have two in the AFC with the East and the North, but they have a West matchup here and the 49ers and the Seahawks, and I think the 49ers are going to win that one.
49ers have looked really good. I've said this for a couple weeks now. If the 49ers wouldn't have had all those injuries the last few years, the 49ers would be ones that are major contenders in the NFC each year. Yeah. They always have a good team. They're well coached. And, I mean, it's not a quarterback issue because, frankly, Brock Purdy, he was a third string.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo was just okay as the second string, you know. They're just a well coached team. They got great defense. Christian McCaffrey being there just helps that talented offense.
And do we even need to talk about Trey Lance being the first string?
He was barely there.
Yeah.
He doesn't count.
Yeah.
3 weeks in the season.
Yeah, that was bad to watch there. But I think that with a team like San Francisco coming in, they're hot right now, coming against a team who the Seahawks, they barely just made the playoffs. It took them winning and then some other things happening with the Packers losing to the Lions and everything like that. Even though the Lions didn't make the playoffs, I wish they would have.
That would have been so cool.
And yeah. Tampa,
I have been rooting for them all year long.
I feel like the 49ers have everything. They have the offensive line. They have every wide receiver you could want with Debo, Brandon Ayuk. They have Christian McCaffrey in the backfield. Brock Purdy's been looking great. Their defense not getting given up any points in the second halves of games. Like, they're really to eliminate the 49ers in the playoffs, it's really about which team can outplay them, not outscore. It's like outsmart, outcoach. It's really going to come down to that because the 49ers really have a key piece to everything, and they're definitely one to look out for in the playoffs. I think they're going to the championship, but I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, only time will tell what'll happen there. Mm-hmm. It's pretty hard to predict when you get good teams like this. But Minnesota and New York, Minnesota has not looked great all season. I mean, they. I know their
record. A lot
record,
of comebacks.
Yeah, their record shows.
A lot
shows,
of comebacks, that's why.
Their record says differently, but I just don't think that they've looked that great this season. The Giants, you know, working, I mean, put up 34 against the Colts, or 38. It was something like high 30s.
We don't even watch it.
What?
Anymore,
so. A team that. Scoring a high 30s on the Colts? That never happens.
No, not at all. But it was not a fun game to watch. But New York and Minnesota, I think that Minnesota it gets it done. I mean, you got guys like Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook. Yeah, I think Minnesota's going to get it done.
I think the Vikings should win, but I don't really expect them to make it that far into this tournament. I still don't trust Kirk Cousins. I know he's had some good plays this year, but I just haven't trusted this Minnesota team at all this year.
I think the Giants are going to run all over the Vikings defense. It's going to be a Saquon playoff game. That's what I think it's going to be, just a Saquon day. It's just that's all we're going to see is just Saquon's going to take over that game and pretty much carry the team. Daniel Jones has actually been pretty looking pretty nice.
He's pretty. Brock Purdy.
So with Daniel Jones, he saved his career because I really thought after this year he was going to be done.
Me too.
And I was like, oh, he was a high draft pick. He shouldn't have been here that long. It was not worth it, you dum-dums. But no.
You dum-dums.
It's been working out well.
Kenny Golladay finally got his first touchdown. Say congratulations to him.
He only needed like 75 more to get his signing
bonus. I'm saying he just got his first touchdown before. Never mind. So, anyway, it was
definitely an underwhelming player this season.
No, so it was. It was against. Who was it against? Who let him get the touchdown? I forget. It was some defender who let him get the touchdown.
Oh, a defender, yes. On defense, some, you know.
No, because it could have been a Deion Sanders type. But it was some player got him, let him score, but, like, didn't let him score. You know what I mean? For Kenny Galladay's first touchdown, but it was kind of a – so the replay looked like he let him score when he scored the touchdown. But
was that an
ESPN
notification I heard?
But the coverage was
I thought
tight.
I thought that was an ESPN notification. I thought we were getting breaking news or something like that.
No,
I think it was just people yelling.
No. Speaking of breaking news, maybe I'm just hearing stuff. Maybe I'm just going crazy.
What? You're not going crazy.
Speaking of breaking news, the Colts looking in talks of six possible head coaching jobs, one of them being special teams coach Bubba Ventrone. I'm very happy about that. There was an interview with him yesterday. With the Colts, I'm excited for that to see if it goes, if it goes through. Colts completed a head coaching interview Wednesday with special teams coordinator Bubba Ventrone. I'm very excited for that. I think he's a good coach. I think he will be good as a head coach if he becomes head coach. I don't honestly think he'll become head coach. Don't really know 100% who that's going to go to right now. But if it were to go to Bubba Ventrone, I would not be complaining.
I still don't know what's going to happen. All I know is that on Tuesday we got to hear from Ballard. He finally addressed the media, and that was kind of a waste of time. He was just like, oh, I fired myself six times, yet he's still here. So who knows what's going to happen if he's still in charge. I don't know if he's going to choose the best head coach. We'll have to find out, though. But I know Saturday still wants to be the head coach. There's no way it can happen. There's absolutely no way. Yeah, I know he had some people.
I think he's going to be offensive line coach. He's going to stay and be offensive. Because that offensive line, that new offensive line coach that they brought in for that year too, because there's no way you have three Pro Bowls on an offensive line in Quentin Nelson and then just miraculously this one year they just do terrible. I mean, I will say maybe some of those were their fault, but a lot of those were just not knowing what to do and you're not knowing their job when they're Pro Bowlers. They should know. It's just what they were being coached. So I think Jeff Saturday is better off being offensive line coach because he's more hard and tough on them.
I think he can be a good leader for sure. Maybe he can keep his role he had earlier when he worked at ESPN and just help the Colts on the side. But who knows what's going to happen there. Just I would be 100% shocked. There's no way. Irsay, I don't think, would allow that.
I hope not.
Yeah, I definitely don't think he will.
Him and his concerts.
That was about the only good part of the year, I would say, was when they had Mellencamp or whatever at that one concert when he had his band there and his memorabilia and stuff. That's about the only highlight we could say. that's not even a good one. And the Chiefs win still is a fluke. Yeah, I've been saying that since week three.
Yeah. It only took the special teams and the offense to absolutely not even show up to Indianapolis, not even get on the plane from Kansas City. That was a rough game for Kansas City, and looking back at it, probably a rough game for the Colts. Just saying that you beat Philadelphia, or not Philadelphia, excuse me, Kansas City.
They almost beat Philadelphia,
lost by one. But the final game, the wild card game that we're going to talk about, Dallas and Tampa Bay. I think that Dallas, honestly, I know Tampa Bay won the division. I know Tom Brady in the playoffs is amazing.
That division sucked. The Panthers almost won that division.
I know. I say that I know they won a division. They were 8-9. They were awful. But I think that with Tom Brady's track record in the playoffs and Dallas's track record in the playoffs, I think that statistically this should go to Tampa Bay. I got to take Dallas.
I'm picking Tampa Bay in this one. I know Dallas has struggled a little bit. They've won, but Dak hasn't been looking so hot recently. We know this happens. We talked about it back in August, how there's a point of the season where Dallas just absolutely collapses every year, and that's going to happen in the playoffs again. I think Tampa Bay is going to win. I don't expect them to make it to the next round after, though.
Yeah, the winner of that game, unless the Giants or Seahawks win, the winner of that game will play Philadelphia.
The Eagles are going to kill them.
Yeah. My Super Bowl is Buffalo-Philadelphia. And then my conference championship games, I have Kansas City and Buffalo and Philadelphia and Minnesota. So those are my games there. And then, so right now, yeah, I have Jacksonville and Kansas City. I mean, we all kind of can predict that game. Buffalo and Cincinnati. I know these can all change with who wins because the NFL top seed always plays the bottom seed. They always link up there. Philadelphia and Dallas. I mean, that's going to be a pretty one-sided game, I believe. San Francisco and Minnesota. That'll be a close game, but I think that Minnesota is going to end up winning that game. And then Philadelphia, Minnesota. Good game, but Philadelphia. And then another good game in Kansas City and Buffalo. And Buffalo winning that one.
I think the 49ers would beat Minnesota. I really do.
Too. I think that too.
And then I think we can see an Eagles 49ers game. If we can see that for the NFC Championship, that's the only game I think that will truly be entertaining.
I think the only team in the NFC right now that can beat the 49ers is the Eagles.
Yes.
And or at least put up with the 49ers is the Eagles. And in the AFC side of things, the only team I don't see going far is Dolphins and Chargers, although I do want the Chargers to win the Super Bowl. I just see the Chargers probably losing after their first win, and then Dolphins not making it past. But I think I got Chiefs, Philly, and Super Bowl.
Interesting choices, nonetheless. I'm excited for the playoffs. I think that it'll be a really fun playoff, like we've said a couple times before. Oh, and by the way, I do have Buffalo winning in the Super Bowl. I don't know if I said that, but
he's biased. Just because they're your second favorite team.
They're a good team.
I know.
They're a great team.
They're going to win the Super Bowl for DeMar Hamlin.
There we go.
Speaking of DeMar Hamlin,
he's back.
He got discharged from Buffalo. He got sent to the Buffalo Medical Center from UC in Cincinnati, and then got sent to Buffalo, and then they had some tests on him, and then went back home, and he's going to rehab with the Bills and on his own. Everything like that. So I'm excited for him after we didn't even know if he was going to survive or not.
That was just a crazy thing to watch, but great to see him back. I mean, yeah, you are right with Buffalo. If they ever needed more motivation, they have it now. And I mean, we clearly saw Nyheim Hines had a lot of motivation last week when he had those two kick returns. Why couldn't he have done something like that with Indy?
Because it's script.
There we go.
Scripted.
And I do want to talk about the player of the months that came out. Only one player out of all of the six players that were chosen did not make the playoffs. So that's pretty cool to see. But Christian McCaffrey won NFC Offensive Player of the Month. This is for December and January. Jerick McKinnon won AFC Offensive Player of the Month for the Chiefs. Hassan Reddick. I thought that was a one. No, that was a seven. Hassan Reddick, NFC Defensive Player of the Year, or month. Roquan Smith, who just got extended by the Ravens, is AFC defensive player. Youngway Koo, NFC special player, special teams player, the only player who's
the
not on the playoffs.
GOAT, by the way.
The GOAT. 12 for 12 on field goals, 7 for 7 on PATs in the months of December and in January. And then Cameron Dicker, the kicker for the Chargers, got named player of the month, went 14 for 14 from extra point, or yeah, from extra points, and 11 for 12 on field goals. But yeah, looking at some of the stats here, Christian McCaffrey, 27 receptions, 7 total touchdowns for a total of 767 yards. Jerick McKinnon, 416 total touchdowns, or not total touchdowns, that'd be amazing. 416 yards, 27 receptions, 9 touchdowns. Hassan Reddick, 18 tackles, 18 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles. And that's some pretty good stats right there. And then Roquan Smith, 66 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 1 interception, and 3 pass deflections. But Roquan Smith getting extended to the Ravens, just a good signing. I think it's a good signing for the Ravens to extend one of their best defensive players, if not their best defensive player as of right now.
I mean, they definitely need him. They need to keep some of this roster here. Yeah, I really don't know if Lamar's going to be there, and that's a whole discussion, and we'll probably get to that definitely when we're in the off season. But, I mean, does he have a point to stay there now?
I mean, a couple of coaches, not a couple, one coach that I know of for sure in an interview was talking a little down on him, saying that he was playing lazy. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not to say anything, but for the first half of the season, Lamar did carry that team.
Was it John Harbaugh?
Maybe. He did say he was playing lazy, so I don't know if Lamar will want to return, or if he does return, he's going to really want that money.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see when they end up getting killed by the Bengals.
Yay.
They really got to pay him. Because that's a great quarterback. You can't let that quarterback go and just not have a quarterback.
We've seen how they play without him. He is their offense.
Exactly. You need Lamar.
Yeah, but the Ravens, they were a little banged up this year. They're just pretty unlucky, and they still managed to make the playoffs. Second place in the North Division. But, yeah, I think that they had a pretty decent season. Or a pretty good season, you know. Pretty good season for what they've been dealt. The hand that they've been dealt.
The Lamar Ravens are pretty good.
I mean, early on, they were close to being undefeated. They had just barely lost their, one or two games through, the first half of the season. But then Lamar goes down against the Broncos, and the Broncos still managed to lose. And then everything just went downhill for Baltimore.
Yeah, but luckily, like I mentioned, they're in the playoffs. That's all you can ask for. Not for long.
No.
Not after. When do they play? Sunday or Saturday? Saturday?
AFC? I think it was Saturday.
I believe Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday night, yeah. I think.
But we're going to go to a quick break and then come back with college basketball. Indiana drops another one to Penn State. They're on a 3-game losing streak and not doing too hot. But we're going to go to a quick break on the sports spotlight. Indy's Giant 90.9.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Sports Spotlight, Indy's Giant 90.9. My name is Owen Pauly alongside Max Gilley and Lucas McKee. But we're here live talking about the college basketball rankings, and let's get right into it. College basketball in full swing now, and we're already almost to March, Max.
It's going to be exciting. I mean, it's almost February for girls basketball in the state of Indiana. It'll be sectionals time before we get there. I know we'll probably have some time to talk about it by the end of this show. But, yeah, it's an exciting time of the year for sure. And they had the inaugural, March Madness predictions come out. I saw Purdue was there. They were one seed. Indiana State made it as a 13 seed, and I think IU was maybe a 5 or 6 seed.
They'll be lucky to make the tournament at this point if they're playing how they – if they keep playing how they're playing right now.
I mean, it is horrible to lose to Northwestern. I think that's a big wake-up call. Yeah. And then Penn State was just disappointing too.
Yeah, and even Iowa, you were up 21. That was a rough game to watch too, but – Houston ranked number one in the nation, 17-1 on the season, and they're on an 8-game winning streak. Kansas red hot right now, 15-1 at number two, but on a 9-game winning streak, so that's pretty good there for Kansas. The Jayhawks, Purdue number three, the Indiana school repping for Indiana. They were number one at one point, but now they are number three.
Rutgers happened.
Yeah, Rutgers happened. The random Big Ten loss that you always had for Rutgers.
Happens every time. Market.
Yeah. I mean, Rutgers, for some reason, just loves to beat up on Big Ten teams. Alabama, number four, 14-2. Tennessee at number five. UConn at number six. So UConn always has a good basketball program, both women's and men's. Significantly, historically, women's more than men's, but still a good program. Have you seen Paige Beckers of UConn women's team? She's back after her ACL injury last year, and she's performing really well at UConn right now.
I saw that. She was at Butler a couple weeks ago because we had our Monrovia girls team went to Butler, and I know they were like, oh, Paige Beckers is there. So saw her back. They're good in women's basketball this year, too. They're not number one. They've fallen off the last few years, but they're still just dominant every single year.
Yeah, UCLA at number seven, Gonzaga at number eight. Gonzaga was struggling early in the season, but since then they've been on a 9-game winning streak, still 8-0 at home, and 2-1 away.
The issue with
losses neutral.
The issue with Gonzaga is they don't schedule any good teams at home. That's why they always have this such a long home streak, because they play garbage competition at home because they're in the West Coast Conference, and that's not talented at all.
They should be in the Pac-12.
They should, but that would mean they would have a losing record a lot more. Yeah.
But Gonzaga doesn't have a football team, correct?
Yeah, no, they don't.
Okay, I thought so. But Gonzaga, I think they'd be able to make the switch to the Pac-12 because they don't have a football team. Because I know you really have to move. Like, I know Notre Dame doesn't, but that's an exception because they're a private school. But you have to move them all. Typically, yeah, you move them all in the same conference with all your sports, but they don't have a football, so Gonzaga in the Pac-12 for football would be very interesting to see.
The entire basketball team. Woo,
woo, just a bunch of 6'7", 7-footers playing football.
Listen, they thought we could send all of America's best athletes to the World Cup. Let's start that out by the best Gonzaga athletes.
Yes, we could.
Playing football.
Tyreek Hill to Qatar. Speaking of the World Cup, to the Chelsea team, Christian Pulisic out for 2 months with an injury, not playing for Chelsea. So
Chelsea sucked this year in the Premier League.
That's an unrelated
note.
Absolutely
nothing.
Soccer is not a sport in America, Max.
How dare you? They're going to lose to Fulham tonight. Watch.
All right. I'm not going to watch. Right. I'm just kidding. I might tune in now that you said something. I won't.
I know you won't. I know what you won't. None of us will. We don't need the corner flag back.
With Christian Hernandez?
Nope.
Arizona at number 9, Texas at number 10, Kansas State at number 11, and Xavier at number 12. Virginia, 12-3 on the season. They are 13. Iowa State, the Cyclones, at number 14. Arkansas getting it done at number 15, 12-4 right now. Miami, 14-2 at 16. The football school, TCU. Well, I don't know if you can call them a football school after they lost to Georgia. That was rough. But 17th ranked Wisconsin, number 18, another Big Ten school out there. Providence, 19, the Friars. Mizzou at 20, Auburn at 21, Charleston at 22, a lot of smaller teams there. San Diego State, 23, and here's the big name, Duke, 24. This is very interesting to see a team like Duke at number 24, Marquette at 25. And there's like some unranked teams that we've mentioned before, like no Kentucky, no Michigan State, no IU, no Duke, or Duke's number 24, no North Carolina. Like, this is very big things. Like, if you would have told me this, and no Villanova, if you would have told me this like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I would have lost my marbles.
I would have told said me, you're crazy.
Yeah, if you would have told me this too many teams were unranked and low ranking, I would have thought you were crazy.
It's a fun time for sure. This is the NIL days with basketball now. You aren't going to see those same blue blood programs being as successful anymore.
Yeah, and then like teams that were just like kind of consistently good, you know, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, Texas ranked in the middle of the pack there. No Baylor. Like, Baylor won the national championship 2 years ago.
They're essentially a 26 seed. They were close to being in the 25 seed, but still, they've just fallen off a lot.
I know at college you get 4 years. It's not like the NBA where you can have a guy play for your team for 20 years. But, you know, colleges move around. But when you're a college team, like, and you're consistently good, like, you should be consistently good. And getting a top recruiting class and everything like that. Notre Dame, who was 11 seed last year, unranked. Rutgers, another 11 seed. They lost in the playing game to Notre Dame, unranked. Got the big wins against Indiana and Purdue, though. But I think Purdue is going to show out for the Big Ten this year. I think they're going to do some good things. But I think we went from, let me do some counting real quick. But we had in the original rankings, like with Ohio State, IU, I want to say Iowa's in there. I think like 25. There was like six teams that were in the Big Ten. And now there's only Purdue, Wisconsin. Yeah, Purdue and Wisconsin. The only two Big Ten teams in the top 25 right now.
Well, this is preparing you for March when they all inevitably get out by round two.
Be madness.
There we go. We're good at marketing.
That's why they did that.
It's madness,
bro.
I remember Easter did that yet last year. He did like his rendition of March Madness. It was very
fire theme song.
It was very tear jerking. It was brought a man to tears. You know what I mean? It was so good.
Need to clip that and then play it for all of our March Madness updates next year.
We have. Yeah, we should do that because it's like a minute-long version.
That doesn't matter. That's going to be our intro now. We don't need The Undertaker.
Just
play it in the background as we give our updates.
Yeah, we can. And then we'll. Yeah, that's funny. I'll find that clip after this episode. But college basketball, what do you got to do to play college basketball? You got to play high school basketball. Speaking of high school basketball, speaking of this school right here, Bette Davis moves to 16-0 with their win last night over Warren Central. 2-0 against Warren Central on the season, 1 in regular season, 1 in tournament play. This is a Marion County tournament. So the winner, or this game, Bette Davis won, Southport won. So Southport will play Bette Davis at Southport Fieldhouse.
That game tomorrow night at 7:30.
Who's on that call, Max?
Some idiot named Max. I don't like him. He's bad.
And who's basketball. The color commentator?
Oven Joe. I don't know.
But then so with that you have Bette Davis and Southport, and then you have Lawrence North and Pike.
I'm picking Pike to win that one. Lawrence North playing really close games. I mean,
against Lutheran.
Lutheran and then Brebeuf.
I mean, they're not bad teams. Lutheran and Brebeuf are pretty good teams this year, but like,
the issue is,
it's Lawrence North.
Exactly. You're supposed to be winning those games.
You are a mixed school.
When you are in that top bracket, you're expected to be performing well in those ones, and you're expected to pull a Bette Davis last year when they had the 30-point games. That was the average. That's supposed to happen with Atlanta, and that just has not happened this year.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting. And a lot of people are talking about, well, Jack Kiefer wouldn't allow this. I think that when you get guys like CJ Gunn leaving, and yeah, I mean, you're having a coaching change from a guy like Jack Kiefer who had 800 wins. Like, that's just, it's going to happen.
People don't realize this because they don't care to remember that. But when you have a coaching change, it takes some time to get back to normal. It's not, you barely see it where a first-year head coach has a winning record, because they aren't going to do it the way Kiefer did. They're going to do it their way. They have to have the full offseason with them, which doesn't always happen when you see these changes. So I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Allen beats Pike, though, because we do know they're both talented. But Ben Davis, the heavy favorite. Southport's a heck of a team, though. This was the matchup I was worried about, truly, because Southport has been the closest team to beat Ben Davis.
But. And last time these teams played, it was at Southport Fieldhouse.
It went to overtime.
Yeah. Ben Davis ended up winning by 3.
That was a terrifying one, but Coach talked about it on Conversations with Carlisle. You got to listen to that to figure out what it's going to take to win this tournament. So, shameless plug there, but I have no shame.
I have no shame either. Benj Buzz was pretty good. We talked about the rough schedule ahead, the 6 straight away games to end off the season for the Lady Giants. I wonder who made their schedule. I'm scared to meet who made their schedule.
They just had to do that because it was really like until the week of the season they were still adding and taking away games. So yeah. It's interesting. It's going to be girls basketball, like I said, before we know it. It's that time of year.
On Saturday, the girls will travel to Pike to take on the Red Devils of Pike in a conference matchup play. The Ben Davis Lady Giants are 1-0 against Pike already. Beat them in the Marion County tournament.
The OG host is back. Jackson White.
Jackson White is on the call.
Jackson White. He's coming from Ball State University, the home of the Fighting Jackson Whites.
The Fighting Jackson Whites.
Who ended up losing, the men's team did. Hey, Mac play a couple years ago, but they're really good.
They get to play Georgia next year in football.
Yay!
They're gonna get 100 point bomb. They're gonna get 100 bombed.
They're gonna win. I'm calling it right now. Upset I won't be able to defend it on the show. Georgia L, Ball State W.
All right, you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. But Ben Davis, they play Southport. The winner of that will play the winner of Lawrence North and Pike. So if Ben Davis wins that game, they will play the winner of Lawrence North and Pike. And then after that, with Marion County being done, they will travel to...
No, they're going
to
host Decatur Central.
Excuse me, host Decatur Central, sorry. And then they will host Gary Westside. They'll travel to Carmel. And then they will host Crispus Attucks, host Covenant. There's no ats or... Yeah. And then they will host Lawrence North, because that was an away game last year. Then they will host Don Bosco Prep, another home game. And then, if I remember correctly, they're at Tech
because there was a home game last year. Yep.
So, a lot of home games for the end of the season for the boys.
That's exciting for them. And Coach talked about, too, Purple Rain, show out. The team needs you. I've been to places, and I've been on the teams that have no fan support. It sucks. So, support your high school teams.
Definitely. Got to show up, show out. So the boys looking pretty good right now, 16-0 on the season, ranked number 1 in the state, number 16 nationally per the Max Preps rankings, and the best start. Max, can you read me that year over there? And when they went 19-0, it's in the
looking
it's in the
to go. It was 35-36. If they can go 20-0, that would be the best start to a season for Ben Davis. And as Coach said, the only way they can lose is if they beat themselves. It's whoever's on that team.
Yeah, and then that will happen against Gary Westside.
Mark it down.
Mark it down on the calendars, ladies and gentlemen. Gary Westside, Ben Davis at Ben Davis High School for 20 wins. First they got to get 17, then they got to get 18 and 19. It's not here yet.
The big thing, too, is the Decatur Central game on Tuesday, as we learned a year ago. After playing 4 games in 1 week, it is difficult to recover that quickly and immediately have a game on Tuesday.
Well, the Decatur Central game was a little... I put a little asterisk next to it. They were not playing Ben Davis basketball. After that loss to North Central last year, they were not playing Ben Davis basketball.
They were crushed for sure, and I truly think that was their downfall last year. I mean, and then they got down against Cathedral and I guess had visions of the loss to North Central, and... They've talked about it many times that game, the loss to Cathedral, has been motivation all year long.
It left a bad taste in their mouth. But, yeah, I'm excited for this season a lot. Lucas, are you going to that Decatur Central-Ben Davis game?
If it's not on a weekend?
It's a Tuesday night, and it's here at Ben Davis.
Then I'll probably be here.
You'll probably be here? I bet.
If I can get a ride, then I'll probably be here.
So I know you're more of a Decatur Central guy, but where you go to high school, Avon. I wish Ben Davis played them still. They played them last year at home. This year would have been at Avon, but Avon dropped them.
Yeah, that'll happen.
So they picked up some more guys. They picked up Don Bosco Prep, Gary Westside instead of Gary 21st.
I went to that Decatur-Avon game. That game was ended with a last-second buzzer beater. It was crazy. It was awesome.
Avon not looking too bad this year, not going to lie. Decatur Central not looking too bad as well.
Decatur's girls team's looking great as well. Yeah, I like Decatur. Yeah. Decatur's going to, I think, probably hand them the first loss.
Yeah, that could be. That could be very interesting. 2-0 against him in the past 2 years. I was very shocked about that about the Decatur game last year. But to be fair, we mentioned they were not playing their brand of basketball. You know what I mean? And Max, talk about a little bit about Monrovia basketball.
No, they're not going well for them. No. Girls basketball, though. Girls basketball at Monrovia's going well. They've won 5 straight. That's the first time since 2006 they've had a winning record. But yeah, the boys team has struggled this year. They've had 6 or 7 graduates like the last 3 years each time. So it's essentially an entire new team this year. And it's the second year head coach. So
all right.
Should be fun one day.
Hey, at least football made it to semi-state.
That's true.
I still don't know how Monrovia made it to semi-state in football. Like, I know they pulled together.
They believed that they were going to make it. And it was the ICC conference is the most difficult small school conference in the state of Indiana when you have to play teams like Lutheran, who were the 1A state champions, when you have to play Triton Central and Cecina, a couple top 2A schools as well.
Mid-major Max, everybody.
There we go. I appreciate that. That's my nickname.
Yeah, mid-major Max. Maybe just don't be named an M team in like mid-major teams.
There we go.
But anyway, that's going to do it for another episode of the Sports Spotlight. Real quick, though, Max, where can we find you on social media?
At MaxGSports on Twitter. There we go.
Lucas?
Instagram is ofg.mckee, and that's Twitter don't really matter. Twitter's we have the our account connected, so I just get on that.
OTG3 McKee or something like that.
Yeah.
Follow me on, or not follow, but, you know. I'm not telling you to follow me, but, you know, if you would like to. At Owen Pulley Media. No spaces, no caps, everything like that. Owen Pulley Media. I found out you really made it in life when you can make your Instagram or Twitter handle literally just your first name. You have made it in life.
If you have a weird name. Like, yeah. Owen.
That's weird. Shut up. But, like, all the Ball brothers do it. There's, like, Zoe and Mello and Jello is literally just like their Instagram name. And everybody knows who they are.
Yeah, like, I think that's, I love simple.
Just that's just a flex. You simple, can just say.
I love simple, just like Zoe, Z-O, like, that's just so simple. That's like, it's just easy. It's great. Yeah,
that's how you know you made it in life, when you can have just your first name or your nickname as your Instagram name and everybody knows who you are. But anyway, that's going to do it for another Sports Spotlight. Oh, the S_Spotlight. That's our Twitter. Get updates from us at WBDG Indy. That's WBDG's Twitter. You'll find that all on our amazing admin team of the Sports Spotlight. But thank you for listening to another episode of the Sports Spotlight. I'm Paulie, Max Gelly, and Lucas McKee here on Indy's Giant 9.9.